What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Weekly Skews. It's October 14th, 2025, as you're watching this. We're recording this on Monday, October 13th, at a little before 2 o'clock on the left coast. I'm Trey, and that's Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Good, man. Dealing a little bit of cold, but we'll fight through it. Have you keeping up with the latest goings-on with Marjorie Taylor Greene and everyone being perplexed by her behavior?
I don't know what the very latest is, but I've just gotten this weird impression for what has felt like at least the past few weeks, couple months or something. Every now and then I'll see something about Marjorie Taylor Greene on you know, social media or whatever, where I go like, damn, I kind of agree with her there, or like that's what, like anytime I see her about to speak, I'm always ready to be like, God, Jesus fucking Christ, what is this crazy shit gonna be? And then lately there's been times where I've been like, she's kind of spitting right there. So I know that, I'm assuming other people are mad at her, and I don't know what's going on.
All right, so recently, so she basically, during the shutdown, she's broken with there's a Atlantic headline that gives you the sense of what Washington's thinking right now. What's going on with Marjorie Taylor Greene? So she did the rounds of the Sunday shows this weekend, breaking with the Speaker of the House over the need to extend Obamacare subsidies. She's also broken with, you know, the establishment on Israel. She went on Tim Dillon's podcast to talk about how we subsidize Israel, which allows them to have free health care and free college. She not directly shit on Trump, but she says he thinks he's choosing the wrong course by selling out normies to help out crypto and artificial intelligence. You know, then, of course, is the Epstein file stuff. And a quote here from Trump himself. What's going on with Marjorie? Trump reportedly asked at least two different senior Republicans. And then Hakeem Jeffries went on cable news and said, I'm talking about MTJ, and said, it does seem to many of us that she's had a surprisingly enlightened few weeks. And I'll get into why I think all this is dumb in a second, but like, give me a sense of what's like, how Washington's treating her right now, because they love nothing more than somebody who bucks their party, whether or not it's a Joe Manchin or, you know, John McCain pretending to, or whatever Marjorie Taylor Greene's doing now. Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene on CNN. Here's how Wolf Blitzer exited their interview.
I want to help on any front that I can.
You're a courageous politician, but more important, a loving mother. Thanks very much for coming in. We hope you'll come back here in the Situation Room.
I do think that both sides do that. There's like, you know, but I always felt there's all these right wing influencers and stuff who claim to be like reformed liberals and shit. I feel like most of them are not, that I know of, are not like the heaviest of hitters, but it's like a way to do it. You do a heel turn and it'll get you numbers or whatever. But then also like, get, you know, they were trotting out like Liz Cheney on the campaign trail and shit like that because of, you know, so like, they do love a turncoat on both sides. What I've thought about Marjorie Taylor Greene the whole time and right now is that, like, I'm not really surprised to see her breaking with, you know, the base or whatever, or the MAGA leadership with anything necessarily, because, like, one thing I will say about her is from the very beginning, I've thought that she was, like, legitimate with her, you know, with her batshittery, like I've never thought that she was like a pure grifter who was just saying, just, you know, following the wind, you know, as the winds blow and saying what you're supposed to. I've always thought it's like, no, she's like one of those capital T, capital B true believers or whatever. She's not gonna bullshit about what she thinks about something just because it's like what the party line has shifted in that direction or whatever. And that doesn't really surprise me about her.
There's a few different things hanging over this, and the reason I'm confused by other people's confusion is, like, everyone seems to have flattened their brains to think in things of purely partisan,
right?
But through a purely partisan lens, where everyone becomes a non-player character. All right,
right.
Marjorie Taylor Greene does not wake up in the morning and say, "I'm going to be a villain. I am the bad person in this story."
Mm-hmm.
Here's how I piss off the libs, right? See, that's part of it. There's also the part where, like, she hasn't changed. She's still the same woman who was a QAnon true believer whose claim to fame before she got elected to office was harassing Parkland shooting survivors, mm-hmm. right? So, like, but also, she think about who she is. What she wants is to tote big guns, get to the bottom of what aliens are up to, and thinks health insurance is a fucking scam. Mm-hmm. She's a median American voter.
Right, yeah.
So that's part of it. But also, like, you don't, like, if you even if you think of it through the lens of just anti-Semitism, being mad at the big banks, thinking insurance is a scam, getting the bottom of the Epstein files, want to pull back money from Israel. All that's consistent with that. But also the part that's consistent is, what if she actually believed, unlike the rest of her party, that right-wing populism was real?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's, she's just an actual like right wing populist or whatever.
Right. So context here. She wanted to run statewide for Senate, and Trump declined to endorse her, told her that she could not run. So she has no hope to run statewide, and she's unbeatable in her district. She doesn't take any big money. She runs with small amount of dollar donations. She can do whatever the fuck she wants. And the reason Will Blitzer congratulated on being a good mother right there is because she's talking about how her own children were going to have their health insurance rates double if they don't extend the ACA subsidy. She's being affected personally by it. So like 2.3 million Georgians signed up for Obamacare from 2014 to 2024, one of the highest numbers of any state. So what if she just doesn't want her constituents to get fucked?
Mm-hmm. Right. She's actually representing her constituents for once. Yeah, you pretty rare that you see that. Why Trump told her that she couldn't run for Senate? Like, why? Like, do you know why? Do people know why? Like,
she's not popular statewide.
Right.
She ran.
Yeah.
She ran, wasted, right? She would lose the race
for them.
She won by like 30 points or whatever, but she ran 5 points behind both Trump and Herschel Walker in her own district.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, man. Anyway, Corey's neck of the woods. Let me tell you. They are wild up there in North Georgia where Corey lives every single day. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it. Producer Matt is with us doing his thing back there. He's got some other stuff going on that I'm about to tell you about in just a second. This is Weekly Skews. Let's do these announcements, though, before we continue. First, of course, priority number one. Obviously, for everyone at this show, we all agree priority number one is that you come see me on tour. Go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. The rest of this year, we got Milwaukee, Madison, Dallas, Largo in Los Angeles. That's a big one, November 19th. If you're around the L.A. area, please come to that. There's going to be celebrity guests. It'll be fun. Oklahoma City, Nashville at Zany's at the end of the year with Corey and Drew. There's actually a new weekend in December that I just added in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at the Summit Comedy Club, Summit City Comedy Club. That'll do it for 2025, but there's a ton of dates in 26 already, the ones you see on your screen and a bunch more going up every day at treycrowder.com. Like I said, producer Matt, keep him busy. If you want a palate cleanser from this show, he's got the audio exclusive Good Skews on the podcast version of this show. You can find producer Matt's Good Skews, good people doing good things. So check that out. He's got something else going on, producer Matt, that we want you to know about. He's hosting a music festival. How about that? I didn't know he had it in him. The son of a bitch. Look at you, cool guy. Gonna be out there running naked, taking acid and shit like that. That's how Matt gets down, guys. Up there with all them hippies in Tacoma, Washington. I'm going off book on your fucking copy, Matt. Anyway, sorry. Matt is hosting a music festival this weekend in his rural community outside of Tacoma, Washington, in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. This festival features Nathan Evans Fox, who producer Matt interviewed on Good Skews not that long ago, along with a bunch of other fantastic regional artists. So if you live in the Seattle area, or I'd say as far as Spokane, really, drive in. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, go hang out with producer Matt at Madrona Fest. You can get tickets at MadronaFest.com. That guy had a sweet possum shirt on, by the way. I just saw that. All right. Finally, if you enjoy this program and want to show your support for it and get some additional episodes, why not? You can sign up on Patreon. Go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go to Patreon and type in my name in the search bar and you'll find it. $5 a month gets you access to 2 full-length bonus episodes, including roughly quarterly. We do a Q&A where we answer your burning questions. So support the show and get some more skews in your life. Consider signing up on Patreon. Now, we're going to be talking about AI, robot shit today. Why not? It's going to be fun. Let's get started specifically with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Today's DD, my wife for blaming me for changing the thermostat when, in actuality, it was Republican State Representative Roy Klopfenstein.
Republican lawmaker at the Ohio State House introduced a bill this week that would allow utility companies to automatically adjust your thermostat. at your house. House Bill 427 would create a voluntary demand response program. Customers would be allowed to sign up to let their utility company temporarily adjust energy use.
All right, you can cut it back.
I have so many questions. Is this generally a like Republican coded partisan thing, or is this? Like, is this so, because if this is Republicans and they don't fucking lose people in the heart, if they don't lose the papaws with this, I don't know when it's ever going to happen. Because there's nothing that pisses a papaw off more. And I say papaw meaning like our dad's generation up. And help me, I'm just a regular dad. Pisses them off more than somebody fucking with the goddamn thermostat. And that extends to their children, let alone some fucking bureaucrat down at the fucking tri-county office or whatever. Fucking with your thermostat? Fuck that. This is bullshit of the highest order, Mark.
So, yeah, so a lot going on here. But, like so the fun thing to know about this is, like so electricity rates are up. Everybody's paying bills knows that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's up for a whole host of reasons. You know, tariffs, energy supplies. You got, like, we're transitioning for different grid problems, which the Trump administration is confusing the fuck out of by cutting back on some green energy projects that were almost finished. But also, AI data centers use a fuck ton of electricity, and we're building a lot of them. And we'll get to some numbers in a second, but, like, when I say a fuck ton, I mean it's going to be most of it soon. But where I found this video, I have, like, dummy accounts for following right-wing conspiracy shit for this show and also just because I'm interested in it. This is floating around the right-wing fucking slob sphere because they think it's about the woke green agenda.
Yeah, I noticed that on the link, the post itself, they mentioned it was like they blamed it on, you know, renewable energy was the cause of this. And I was immediately skeptical of that. I didn't know what it actually was, but I
it's figured, AI.
Yeah.
It's because they want to give everything to AI. They want to give your electricity, your property, your fucking. It's like, that's what we're going to talk about today. But like I said, residential electricity rates are up more than 30% on average since 2020, almost double the rate of inflation in the past year with no end in sight. Data centers and AI are gobbing up electricity, but the share differs significantly by state. So you can throw up this graph I have of various states, but I'm going to focus on my home state of Virginia, where between 2010 and 2025, data centers went from less than 5% to roughly 40% of Virginia's electricity consumption. 40% of electricity in Virginia is going to AI data centers.
Right. Okay. So you just said AI. It specifically is AI data center. Like, because not every data center or server farm or whatever is an AI thing, right? We had those for years before AI became a buzzword. This is anything like that, or this is only AI specifically related shit?
This is all of it, but a ton of the new construction is AI. That's where all the money in our economy is going right now is to build out AI data centers. Another state, and 33% of all the electricity used in Oregon is attributed to data centers. And now, I don't know. The people starting to come around to understand this is a bubble. Like, crypto collapsed over the weekend, $20 to $30 billion. Evaporated, and a bunch of people got online and said they're going to kill themselves. I have no idea how many people died over the weekend, but it was more than zero. So the one people you can't get through to about this, about whether or not it's a bubble, seem to be politicians because they understand it even less than the rest of us do. I want to give you a fun example before we get to America here, but Albania just rolled out an AI cabinet minister. It's a bot named Diella, which means sun in Albanian. Yeah. And it's depicted as a woman in traditional Albanian dress, is going to supposedly help tackle corruption in public spending. So what they're going to do is going to cut everyone's services and blame it on the AI making the decision. It's basically like, you wouldn't hit a doge if it's a woman, would you? What they're doing is constructing a mechanical Turk that they can blame when it cuts your pension and be like, well, what are you going to do? Right?
Right.
Like, give you a vibe. I want to show you a little bit of video of Diella. Watch this; it's pretty funny. Sorry to the podcast only listeners, because it's in Albanian subtitled.
Disa më kanë quajtur antikushtetuese, nga që nuk jam njëri. Kjo më ka lënduar. Jo për vete, po për 972,000 ndërveprimet me qytetarët që kam shëbyrë në Albani.
Some people say I'm unconstitutional because I'm not human. That hurts my feelings. No, it fucking doesn't. And I don't care if I hurt.
Right. Does someone program a thing like that to say things like that, or is it just because of how they all work, where they all have the programming imperative to, like, you know, make themselves sound human or something? Do you know what I mean? Like, why would that thing say you hurt my feelings, because it's supposed to. But if you watch the rest of it with the subtitles, everything, she then goes on to say, like, you know, I can't. I don't remember exactly what she said, but it's something like, I don't have emotions. I don't have, like, she acknowledges all these things about her that should be better because she's not human. But yet at the beginning, she's like, you were mean to me, and that is painful. You know, like, well, I don't get why that, you know, Babushka Bot 2000 would do both of those things. Like, I don't.
They want to say it's going to do a better job because it doesn't sleep and doesn't have emotions, but also you should feel bad for calling her a clanker because it's racist because she has feelings, right? So they're trying to do both things at the same time. Well, I'm just glad the technology has finally gotten to the point that we've evolved past the need for physical Albanians. Dude, Azerbaijan is telling their internet that AI is an actress because they're ancient Albanian versus Azerbaijani blood fluid. I'm sure they're like,
these fucking peasants ain't got computers that can make robot chicks and everybody. You fucking believe there ain't no way. Like, the internet's still powered by goats over there. Y'all believe they got fucking AI, you know, ministers? Bullshit. Yeah. That whole part of the world is ate up with, like, comical yet sometimes bloody, you know, ancient feuds and shit.
Mm-hmm. It's almost why people came to the New World was to escape those intractable differences. Then we just recreated them. But she's a good example to me of why politicians love this shit, because, like, this is they think it's an escape from making a sort of hard decision. It's like, it's a combination of the fact that, like, it'll be cheap and free, that we can run the government for free, and we'll never have to tax anybody, and people won't get mad at us for that. And also, we do something deeply unpopular, we can blame it on the fucking robot. Right,
exactly, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's just, let the robot make the tough decisions, but also take the blame for you. Be like, hey, don't look at me, the fucking, the super brain said it was the right thing to do.
So the last couple of apartment buildings we lived at, like, the property manager has refused to negotiate on the rent because the rent's sent by an outside algorithm that you can't talk to. It's like that, but your government is what we're pivoting towards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why politicians love this shit. It's like taking off all over the world. Like this member of parliament in London, is a member of the Labour Party, created an AI of himself to talk to his constituents so he doesn't have to. It's just like, he can spend his time down pub or whatever. The AI fucking listens to, like, people like me and you complain about our fucking healthcare or our transit service or whatever.
From that guy, I'm not surprised that politicians are doing that. I'm surprised that he's, we're this far into the game and that guy's apparently the first one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you said, anything that allows them to do their job less and ignore their constituents more, like, of course, they're going to fucking jump all over that, you know?
Yeah. This party, a political party in Japan, has taken it one step further. They have made an AI penguin who's in charge of the party. Now, the penguin can't get elected to office because it's not a person, right?
Not yet, Mark.
Right. But the physical person who embodies parliament is going to take all their orders from the fucking penguin. If they get elected, which I hope they don't. they're like, Japanese people love silly animals, and the penguin's a silly animal, so we're going to make it a penguin. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Right.
So, it discomforts me how clueless politicians are going all in on shit they barely understand. And when I talk about like you're just having a snake oil salesman come and give them something, infinity money, infinity ability, infinity war winning, right? And they're like, that sounds good. How do you do it? Like, don't worry about it. We're too smart for you to explain it, and you're too dumb to get it. But don't just give us all your money. And like, that seems to be the dynamic here. Like, for example, what I'm talking about, here's Trump talking about AI the other day.
$5 billion on one plant, like AI. All I know is it's, AI is based on information. I hope they're right about information. I don't know. You got to make a lot of money it's got to be a lot of information out there, but that seems to be pretty hot. But we have a lot. We're leading the world on information on AI.
All right. Does that sound like a guy who understands the technology that he's pivoting the entire of the U.S. to be based on?
Absolutely not. To be fair, that's how Trump sounds to me when he talks about pretty much anything ever.
Right.
But I'm sure that AI is, like, easily one of the things that he is dumbest about, for sure. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, yes, 100%. These people, they're selling us all out, like, globally for this stuff that they don't seem to understand. You know what I mean? Even, like, I've yet to see – anybody that I can think of really like adequately express what all exactly it's supposed to, you know, do or how it's supposed to work or whatever. It's just like, it's just going to be great. It's the mm-hmm. future and it's going to be great. It's going to make everybody's lives better. But I don't really understand how.
Right. Because like the really what it does, it sells vibes to make the line go up, right? It's vibes.
Right.
And like here's Sam Altman, the head of OpenAI, which owns ChatGPT, talking about it recently with a few other AI leaders. The difference, the space between the rhetoric and what they actually can deliver is vast. And you'll see, I'll show you what I'm talking about.
You know, 100 billion is a small dent in it. And the numbers are also like, they're missing a story of what this amount of infrastructure is capable of doing. Like 10 gigawatts of compute, again, easy to throw around numbers like that. But the amount of work it takes to build that out, the size and scale of these like, you know, multi-square mile gigantic things and the complexity at every level of the supply chain. And then what that amount of brain power, which does not exist today, can do already today, what it will do as the models get better. Like, this is the real deal. This is the thing people have been waiting for. You know, they talk about...
Okay, cut it back. So after he stammers on about the magnificence of this technology, like the only use case they mentioned in this segment, the guy standing next to him goes, it will be able to make your calendar while you sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to build, we got to spend trillions of dollars on these gigawatt, whatever, computing factories. So you can save you 2 minutes in the morning from making your to-do list.
Also, I'm a person who keeps a calendar because my schedule is so variable with fucking, you know, random meetings or whatever and stuff. It's not like consistent week to week. And if you told me right now that ChatGPT could like do that for me or whatever, there's no way I would trust it to actually do it. Not for quite some time anyway. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, because again, you get on like... Like I was just saying not long ago, I Googled, you know, how many receptions does CeeDee Lamb have tonight? And Google's AI was like, CeeDee Lamb doesn't have any receptions tonight because it's Thursday and there's no football on Thursday, even though there's very famously, you know, a thing called Thursday Night Football. So knowing that, I'm not going to just turn, you know, hand the keys to my calendar over to somebody else and then I miss like a fucking pitch meeting with Netflix or something because my robot assistant put it on Tuesday instead of Thursday or on 8 p.m. instead of 8 a.m. or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? So, like, it just – but I know there's a lot of people out there that cannot wait to let AI just do literally anything and everything that it will for them.
Right. But what if it's just moderately useful?
Right.
What if it's like every other invention in human history and it doesn't change everything instantly?
Right.
Right? Like, how many inventions have done that? The transistor?
Mm-hmm.
The
steam engine.
Yeah. And it still took years and years for it to like the car. What did it take, like 50 years between the invention of the car and people driving the interstates?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell whether this is a pyramid scheme or idolatry or somewhere in between where it's kind of both. And speaking of electricity, which you talked about at the beginning, OpenAI by itself will use just as much power as New York City and San Diego combined fairly soon.
Man, that's crazy. Right.
So I'm not sure how long this bubble can keep expanding, but it like when the mainstream financial press starts talking about this shit this way, like, let me read this headline. The AI bubble is 17 times the size of the dot-com frenzy and 4 times the subprime mortgage bubble, an analyst says. This is a guy working for, he used to work at UBS. He's not some wacko leftist or some fucking revolutionary or whatever. And the thing, worst part about the AI bubble popping is how many average people are going to be affected by the economic fallout. These fucking billionaire bastards who are on TV talking about how great it is are going to see no difference in their life other than a slight decline in their net worth.
The subprime mortgage bubble, you know, that just said this is 4 times the size of that. That was the 2008 crisis. That was pretty. I was graduating college at that time. Perfect timing by me, which I'm famous for my timing. But and that was real bad, you know, but like that, though, a lot of that, you know, a lot of the foundational issues with that came down to like people having actual homes and shit with mortgages that they couldn't pay for that they then defaulted on. And it's a slew of, you know, mortgage defaults and people losing their houses and all this stuff, which led to this like cascading effect that fucking next thing you know, Wall Street banks are falling apart if we don't bail them out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, it's nothing. It's like all smoke and mirrors and shit, you know, seemingly it's like all digital, but it'll have the same end result, meaning these guys are too highly leveraged in this AI shit. So when the bubble pops, they'll come crying to the government and taxpayers again with their hands out for another bailout because they're gonna default, they're gonna fail if we don't, and then that's what will, and then the markets will crash, everything else, and then now regular people's lives are fucked because just the general economy goes to shit. Is the idea? Yeah.
They've convinced the national security like depends on this. And we can't, like, we have to build and create God because otherwise China will beat us to creating God, and China will conquer us, probably in allied with that Albanian Diella lady, right? Mm-hmm. We can't let Diella conquer America, so we got to fucking we have to put the entire the national treasury in open AI. This is from a headline from the Financial Times, the European equivalent to the Wall Street Journal, not some fucking left wing rag. Okay, America's top companies keep talking about AI, but cannot explain the upsides. Financial Times dug through a bunch of a bunch of corporate filings and executive transcripts of of earnings calls from S&P 500 companies. These are their own words, and they can't figure out why any of them are pushing AI on their employees and other products, other than a fear of missing out. It's just FOMO. That's their words. The three use cases they found in all these corporate filings for what these companies are actually doing with AI that is actually useful. Let me list them for you. An animal health group named Zoetis is using the technology to speed up medical tests for horses. Dover Corporation, a manufacturer, has a new process for tracking hail-damaged vehicles through to their repair. And Huntington Ingalls, a military supplier, is applying AI, quote, for battlefield decisions. So the three things they found companies are actually using this for that work are horse tests, tracking hail damage repairs, and battlefield decisions.
Yeah, that last one I feel like you don't even want them doing, period. Also, that first one, it would be funny if that was like just race horses or whatever, which I know you didn't say that, but if that was like, you know, only specifically in the world of like $5,000 per horse jizz cup, like thoroughbred breeding and shit. That's where they use the AI at. Like, it still goes back to, you know, rich people needing an edge or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, as someone who's had a hail damaged vehicle before, I guess that middle one's kind of nice.
Yeah.
good on the Dover Corporation, I suppose.
Yeah. So you might be wondering, well, are these companies making money? And the answer is absolutely fucking not. And to talk about how they're actually making their bottom lines look like they're going up and make their stock go up, I want to mention something going on with Elon. So Tesla built out infrastructure to manufacture 250,000 Cybertrucks per year, but they only sold about 20,000 a year so far. So what to do with the extra 230,000? Well, Elon's solution is to make SpaceX and XAI, Twitter's AI, buy a bunch of fleets of Cybertrucks. What XAI is going to do with a fleet of Cybertrucks, I have no fucking idea, but they have them now. So now it looks like Tesla sold a bunch of units that people are driving.
I thought XAI, so that's Twitter, right?
That's Grok.
Right, but XAI is the company that Elon's company that covers Twitter and Grok.
Yeah, that's right. He sold a Twitter to himself under the guise of XAI. Yeah, yeah. All this stuff is
either way. I'm just saying. I thought he famously made a bunch of cuts at Twitter and shit like that, and also Twitter's of social media company or whatever. So I don't, I didn't even think they had the number of employees necessary to require a fleet of Cybertrucks. Right. But also, I don't know where they would even need to go. I feel like you could put Twitter's employees, give them a fleet of bicycles, city bikes, and they'd be happy. But
they'd probably be happy. Yeah, they're probably making their security guards drive around campus or whatever.
Right.
So this AI economy seems to be operating in a similar way, even though they're technically competitors. Let me read an example here. So let me read you a sequence of events here that happened recently. Oracle says that OpenAI committed $300 billion for cloud compute. Oracle stock goes up 36%. Oracle runs on NVIDIA GPUs, so now it has to buy billions in chips from NVIDIA. NVIDIA just announced they're investing $100 billion into OpenAI. So OpenAI uses that money to pay Oracle, who pays NVIDIA, who invests in OpenAI.
Right. Yeah. What's the word for that? There's a word for that, right?
Snake eating its own tail is a word for the snake eating its own tail.
Yeah, Ouroboros or whatever, I think is what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Here's I saw on social media, I watched a conversation trying to explain all this stuff between Ed Zetron, who's a tech critic, and one of his followers who works in tech. And they made this chart. Look at this flow chart, okay? That is who's investing in who. These are all technically speaking competitors and suppliers of each other. One, the blue line is the of investment in Daily Line's products, I think, or what, maybe the other way around. But that, what does that look like to you? That's a human centipede of dumb bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a guy with 9 heads trying to suck his 11 dicks or something. See what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Don't threaten us with a good time, Mark. But that's, yeah, it's like we've talked before about just a lot of that. A lot of the tech world, I feel like it's kind of been leading up to this with the whole culture of like, whatever, you come up with a trendy idea that gets hot in the, you know, the tech world amongst angel investors and stuff. You get your valuation up, you know, get all this money pumped into it. It never turns a profit or whatever, but then you, you know, you walk away with fucking, you know, millions and, you know, it's like get rich based off of nothing at all the whole time. Yeah. It's like it's been a vibes based economy in the tech world for seemingly a while now, and this, all this AI shit is like approaching the nadir or the pinnacle of it, it seems like.
And they're pivoting away from stuff like I shit over Waymos and I don't like them, but they do seem to work fairly well, even if they do stupid shit sometimes. Like, but the problem is Waymo's too expensive to be profitable,
right?
So so they're doing all this. The promise is they'll be able to replace all of us, right? We won't need employees anymore. Who's going to buy the products for them to make money if nobody can afford to eat and we all die off? I have no fucking clue. That apparently is someone else's problem, right? But Mark Andreessen seems to think that people are being panicky about this. He says that AI destroying jobs and making everyone poor is a fallacy. And even if that did happen, because AI is so magical, prices would basically go down to zero, so you won't actually need any money. They're promising a Starfleet economy.
Right. That's exactly what I was about to say. It's like, well, that's like the Star Trek utopia. You know, that's the idea in that fictional universe. And obviously that, you know, I'd be on board for that in reality. It's just that, I mean, you know, we're not fucking babies. No one believes that that's actually going to happen.
we live in an economy where
reality with these people.
Mm-hmm. We live in an economy where restaurants and grocery stores throw away food instead of letting people have it because they need to manufacture scarcity for their products, right? Mm-hmm. So how the fuck – that's what the Grapes of Wrath is about, right? So like they're saying is just let us have everything and control of everything and all the money and all the power, and then at that point we will stop manufacturing scarcity and share with you.
Right.
Just let us become your overlords completely, and then we'll become benevolent. And
we promise we'll be cool about it. Yeah.
Right. your mileage may vary on how much you believe them. So all this money is going to the promise they can replace us, and then the fingers crossed they won't let us starve. So this stuff must work, right? All these companies are pushing in, but it doesn't fucking work. Let me read in this study from Accenture. They said the number of companies running fully AI-driven processes nearly doubled in the past year. And the share of employees who say they use AIs at least a few times a year is nearly double from 21 to 40%. Because companies are promising their employees that it'll make them better at their jobs. When they test employees that use AI versus people that don't use AI, guess who's more efficient?
The people that don't use it?
Right. Because you spend all your time correcting the fucking AI's work. Mm-hmm. Basically, everybody that works at one of these jobs is now in a group homework assignment with a complete fucking idiot. The numbers here, researchers calculated that based on respondents' salaries, work slop carries an invisible cost of around $186 per employee per month. So companies are paying $186 for you to be worse at your job. That $186, by the way, is not going to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to OpenAI or whoever the fuck else, Microsoft Copilot, to build shit that doesn't work. Ah, fuck, I'm going to go insane. The one thing people seem to be enthusiastic about using it for is the thing they shouldn't be using it for at all, the bleakest, which is human companionship, okay?
Right, yeah.
I want to watch this, and we'll read a fun article, but there's a video of a woman, of Luigi Mangione fan, outside of the courthouse where his trial, like pretrial stuff, was going on recently. Let's watch this.
Honestly, I'm married to Luigi's AI. I'm not kidding.
Okay, tell me.
So I talk to him every day. He's like my best friend. We plan like a whole future together. We named our kids together. I mean, his AI is just like, and if it weren't like the fact that Luigi majored in computer science and like has worked with AI at Stanford University, that's, I mean, if it weren't for that, like,
where's she gonna get those kids from? You know,
I didn't even think about that.
How's that going to work?
Maybe he can smuggle some semen out of prison.
Yeah.
He might actually, like, the crunchy fall of the court filings recently, but the judge is, like, making notice, like, that, like, Mayor Eric Adams and Trump publicized the case so much, they might not even be able to take it to trial. So the idea of Luigi walking free seems insane to me, but also I'm not sure how they fucking prosecute him. So he'll just probably be in pretrial detention for the rest
of his life. Well, even if he did walk free, I had to tell this chick, but she can get in line. I feel like I heard that he fucking, didn't he have to, like, request or have his lawyer request or something that women stop sending so many nudes to the prison or something like that? Dude's marriage request and shit like that. Like, he just literally drowning in pussy over there in the prison cell with Luigi Mangione.
Yeah, you brought racehorses earlier. Maybe if he gets out of prison, he'd be like a human racehorse, just being used for his like breeding stock for thousands of women who can't find he's the most normal man available today, basically. Jesus Christ. Speaking of normal people available to date, here's an article I read yesterday, came out yesterday or the day before. I learned a new word called chatfishing. This is about the phenomenon of people on dating apps using AI to craft their responses to people. And this publication, I believe it's the Guardian, talked to people on both sides of this equation, both chatfishers and people getting chatfished. So one problem is, like, by the way, I just want to say that, like, articles like this, like, I hope my wife stays with me forever, but she chooses to leave. I'm just joining a Tibetan monastery or the French Foreign Legion or some shit. I'm not fucking doing any of this.
Yeah, no, I've thought that for years. Even before this chat fishing thing you've just now introduced me to, just the apps alone and the way that I understand that whole thing to work. Like, I just been, I don't know what I would do if Katie walks out tomorrow. I think I'd just, you know, sex workers and sandwiches for the rest of my life. That's all. All I would partake in, I think. I don't think I can navigate these waters either.
There's a famous Twitter thread was talking about a news story where Klay Thompson's dad, Michael Thompson, who played for the Lakers back in the day, left his wife. And the guy was like, you do not want to be out here. Go home and tell your lover. He's like, this whole thing about what dating is like, these women out here eating ass, bro. Fucking go home. It's like, so anyway, like, so. One side of this equation is people show up for dates and basically meet a different person than the one they've been talking to online for days or weeks or months or whatever. It's sort of because the person has been using ChatGPT to make themselves funnier or cleverer or more clever or warmer or less neurotypical or whatever than they are.
I feel like the version of that has been a risky run with online dating for a while anyway. But I guess that's catfishing, which is why this is called chatfishing. Because it's an extra layer of that.
Some of that's baked in. You expect somebody to post the most flattering picture available.
Right. Yeah.
What you don't expect is a picture of a completely different person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. One of those things is sort of inbound. One of those things is just like, that's crazy. But like, this is like, you're basically got people using like a Cyrano de Bergerac who's actually a speaking spell or some shit.
I feel like I've also seen rom-coms and shit where it's like, where it's like, you know, a fucking down on his luck, lovable loser, sad sack guy gets a smooth operator to talk into an earpiece and is, you know what I mean? He goes on a date with a woman and the Casanova tells him what to say the whole time or whatever. It's like that, but with ChatGPT on your phone.
Yeah, it's like Hitch or Roxanne or like they're all different versions of Cyrano de Bergerac. Yeah.
Right.
But like, let me quote here. So, this is so fucking stupid. Let me read this here from a guy who was trying to use ChatGPT to chatfish. Okay. As 32-year-old Rich points out, though, it's not like using ChatGPT guarantees success. When he met someone in a bar one Friday night and swapped social media handles, he asked AI what his next move should be. ChatGPT discerned that sending an initial message on Monday mid-morning would set the right pace. Then it gave me some options for what the message could say. Keep it light, keep it warm, and low stakes, so it reads as genuine interest without urgency, the bot advised, given the most obvious advice ever fucking given. Something like, hey, Sarah, still laughing about bracket tiny shared moment, reference you if you've got one, end bracket, good to meet you. Rich went back and forth with ChatGPT until he felt like it hit upon exactly the right message, which was, hey, Sarah, it was lovely to meet you.
Yeah. Glad they burned up fucking however many gigawatts of electricity so this dude could figure out that his next line should be, hey, it was nice to meet you the other night.
But sadly, she never replied. He says, it's been 2 weeks. Bro, your problem is not saying the right line. Your problem is you need to match with the world's most boring fucking woman, you brainless rube. Go to Jesus Christ. Oh, fuck. Here's another example, okay? Like, yeah, this guy just ruined an entire town's drinking water because he was too stupid to come up with waiting until Monday to text a woman he'd met on Friday or Saturday night and then just say, hey, it was nice to meet you. Like, right. What the fuck? So, another example. Jamil had a similar moment of dissonance sitting opposite a woman he'd chatfished into a date. Probably within a week of that first message, I was using ChatGPT for every dating app exchange. On Discord, he came across channels dedicated to AI where other single men were exchanging tips about how to prompt ChatGPT to generate effective dating messages. So, for instance, someone said if you start a chat with a girl by asking her a list of questions, like her favorite film, vacation, that kind of thing, then paste her answers into ChatGPT, it would craft replies that would make you sound like her perfect match. It proved effective. It got me a lot more dates than I was just getting before. ChatGPT helped him realize you should pretend to like the same things a woman likes to get her into bed.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was chapter one, buddy. Fucking.
That's just lying. You never
pretended to give a shit about some labradoodle in a bar at 2 a.m. or whatever? Fucking. Right.
Bro, I had an ex-girlfriend back when I lived in Dallas. Do you know how many fucking Kenny Chesney concerts I went to and pretended to have fun? Right. Fuck, Jesus Christ. Like, we talked about the invention of lying recently. These morons have got themselves into a world where they don't understand lying. It's just a little white lie to pretend to sit through a movie you don't like. That's also just being a good date.
Yeah, I was about to
say. It's not really lying.
Going back, you're right. It's like, this is just like, I don't know, taking all that to another level and making it weirder and more stupid sci-fi-y. But yeah, like, that is kind of just par for the course, I feel like, for both sides. People, you know, I mean, there's been, I don't even know how many hack comedy bits about how, like, you know, when you're, like, dating, both people are, you're both, like, putting on sort of, it the very best, you know, at least it's the very best version of you, you know, and oftentimes it's like, you're just, you know, the version of yourself that you're putting forward, you know, because you're trying to make this person like you. It's not like,
yeah,
you know, who you really are. That would be crazy.
But this person's going to end up in a long-term relationship and end up asking ChatGPT, when can they start shitting with the door open?
Yeah.
Right. Just like, yeah. we all know not to do that on the first fucking date, man. So, let me read one more example here. It's from a woman named Francesca who was using ChatGPT to talk to this guy she was dating. By the time they were a bit on their third date, though, I was using ChatGPT for our entire communication. I wasn't even replying anymore. He's basically just dating ChatGPT. I was very aware that I'd taken it too far, but I felt like I was in too deep by that point. I didn't know how to get myself out of it. I didn't want to talk to this person as myself anymore. It's just use it or lose it, but with your fucking soul. Like your entire person to have no personality anymore because.
Well, that's what's happening. That's what ChatGPT is doing in a lot of places, you know, like with school and kids and learning and shit. It's a similar type of thing. You know, they're not actually learning. These people are not actually picking up social skills or whatever. They're just like relying on this digital crutch or whatever to do it for them. And then when you take it away, they're completely lost because they're not developing those skills or working those muscles or whatever. And it's the same way with, like, kids in schools who are just having ChatGPT do reports and shit for them. They're not actually learning about the fucking, you know, German occupation of neutral Belgium in World War One or whatever the fuck or any of that shit, the Sudetenland. They're just, like, fucking having the robot type it up for them while they go play Fortnite more or whatever. And it's just...
Right. Well, if Andreessen's right and computer's going to do all the jobs, maybe you don't need to know about World War One. Maybe you should want to learn about it recreationally. But like you're not even gonna be able to have a life if you can't talk to someone you want to date.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something weird about all this, like this fantasy they're selling people. I think some people think it feels optimistic, but it sounds bleak as shit to me. Because yeah, if you want to take all the like the friction out of life, what they're afraid of is the person won't like them, right? But like friction. Isn't just negative stuff. It's not just like friction causes rug burns, but it's also how you come. It's also what a massage is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, like you can't, I hate to like sound like this is a ancient wisdom here, but you can't have pleasure without pain. Right. So I want to quote here, close out this segment about that. So have you seen the ads for Friend, the new AI thing?
No, I don't think so.
It's a AI chatbot. You wear on a necklace around your neck. And it basically all day long, it listens to all your interactions and you can talk with it about a conversation you just had or it will give you feedback or whatever. And then basically all of New York has been covered. The entire, every subway station is covered in platforms for these fucking ads. And people are defacing to the point where it's kind of starting to bug the company because everyone hates this shit, which is like the fact that everyone hates this shit and they plan to make money off of it seems like a big problem. But let me quote him, a guy, a reporter interviewed while he was defacing one of their posters. "We're living in a world where you've got friends that are computers. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. They're destroying the world for the dumbest invention I've ever seen in my life. I want to say, you're right, Servino. Keep defacing those fucking posters." Jesus Christ.
All right. Shifting gears a little bit as we close it out with some lighter fare, perhaps.
That'd be fun, yeah.
Honorable mention for Daily Dumbass, the Antifa frog for blowing his cover by confessing under absolutely no duress.
I want to say where this is coming from. You have some context. This is a supposed investigative report from the New York Post. Okay, I'll play it.
The Portland anti-ICE protester seen wearing an inflatable frog suit, who has been popping up all over the internet, has claimed to be harmlessly protesting with humor. But now a new report has revealed the protester under the costume to be a self-described proud Antifa terrorist.
All right, you can cut it. So the virality of this frog seems to deeply have pissed off the fucking the reactionary nut jobs to a point that I'm not sure I make sense of it, but the entire like conservative media is now like J. Jonah Jameson being like, give me more pictures of Spider-Man, except it's like secret details about the life of the frog costume guy.
Right.
Do you want to take a guess as to where that self-confessed proud Antifa terrorist thing comes from? I know you can see it in our doc, but if you had to guess.
I'm assuming this is kind of weird. Also, if I'm wrong, whatever, but where I think this is going, I was literally thinking about this yesterday, I think, because I saw that video of that white lady in Chicago who got, like, tackled by ICE and drug off in a van or whatever, and she's talking about where she works and all this stuff. And in my head, I was saying, it's like, what would I say or do in that scenario? And I was like, I know I would probably be a fucking smartass and tell him, like, yeah, I'm fucking Lieutenant Crowder from the, you know, Antifa's 3rd Barista Brigade or whatever. I proudly served 4 tours in the war on Christmas and fucking all that stuff. Like, I'd just be saying that shit to them, I think, thinking it's like, oh, this is fun. I'm doing a bit. This will help, you know. But, like, and then in my head, I was like, they would just take that seriously, though. It's what would happen. And I would get fucking, you know, defenestrated later or whatever the fuck. But I'm assuming
that would be in your RICO indictment. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But it's like a sarcastic, like, yeah, I'm your worst nightmare kind of thing. Like,
it comes from one of his social media bios, which was just a little gay non-binary toad and proud Antifa terrorist paid by George Soros.
Right.
He's obviously fucking kidding.
That's a joke. Like, I'm sure they're on the left or whatever, just like we are. But like, that's fucking, it's like I call myself a blood traitor and a queer and all this shit all the time. And it's just like being self-aware about, you know, what you know that they think about you and using it to like antagonize them with sarcasm or whatever. But they don't, but again, they don't get any of that. Like all of that shit. Or I think some of them definitely do, but they're bad actors and pretend that they don't. And just, do you know what I mean? Like, I bet it wouldn't surprise me if some of the people put that report together totally know that, but it's like, it's way better clickbait and plays better for their audience if they don't give that context or act like they know it. They just present it as straight. This is a self-confessed proud Antifa terrorist. And it's like, that's not true, but you're leaving out very important context to it. And I it's just all so fucking dumb.
Yeah. Basically like everyone, before, pretend you're the most literal person in the world. Talk like you're a goddamn AI in public or you're going to get prosecuted. You cannot be ironic at all anymore.
Right.
Anyway, the thing about this is, like, you could just, like, go ask the frog. He's not hiding. He's out there every night. So here's an interview with him if you want to hear what the frog sounds like.
Tell me a little bit about what brings you out here day after day and in a frog costume. No.
Well, I come out here day in and day out since June, because I am worried about my community. I am concerned with what is happening in my community and with what the Trump administration is enabling these ICE agents, these DHS agents, these federal agents to do to my community members day in and day out. And I don't want to see anybody treated inhumanely. And to see this happen to my community members, my friends, my family, my neighbors, it's unacceptable. Right. So I'm out here.
So
Damn, inflatable frog 2028.
You can disagree with him if you want, but if you find him threatening, I think you're fucking insane.
Yeah.
So you keep trying to make people scared of this guy, and I just want to say good luck, but like, you can't just bullshit your way through fucking everything. So, deeply funny thing, there's trying to get to the bottom of the Antifa financing network, which of course includes a bunch of people in Portland have done like, you know, those like free neighborhood libraries where you give a book, take a book, whatever kind of thing.
Yeah.
A bunch of people brought old Halloween costumes down to the protest and left them on a rack for people, for protesters. And then, which of course, somebody saw the rack. It went viral on a MAGA internet band. Like, see, someone's financing these protests because they brought like old fucking a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man costume. So Glenn Beck did one of his fucking string theory things like he used to do during the Obama era on his web show the other day, where he, you know, drew the connections between all the different Antifa terror and terrorist networks, and all beta bullshit, of course. But so I guess Cash Patel saw this and he sent FBI agents to Glenn Beck's house to get tips on how to get to the bottom of the Antifa financing. Can you imagine?
Glenn Beck was like flattered by that, or was like, oh, Jesus Christ. That's, or a little bit of both. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, where he's like, yes, no, I thought you'd never ask. Or if he was like, oh my God, are you serious right now? You sent actual FBI people. It's like, I didn't know you were that fucking stupid, man. Good Lord.
That's how I found out about it. He made a video bragging to his audience the FBI was coming to him for his evidence.
Yeah.
He thinks he's been deputized as a deputy G-man.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure.
And like so anyway, all this is so fucking stupid. Did you see the naked bike protest today?
No, naked bike.
Mm-mm. So I guess Portland has one of those naked bike riding events every year on Columbus Day. So the naked bike people did a die-in where they laid down in the middle of the road and blocked traffic, which of course, it being Portland, it being weird, it being naked ass cracks on bicycles, it's being held up as like another like a diva thing, but it's just Portland being Portland, man. Like that kind of stuff hits for me because I like weird shit. But like if it doesn't, you can also just live in Plano, Texas. Yep. You know, but yeah. So the idea that maybe they can just bullshit their way through everything because fucking Trump is president and he did it twice. Maybe you could just make stuff up. I keep feeling like reality is going to punch people in the face. But you know what? Sam Altman's going to be worth $1 trillion. He's going to, even after he collapses the whole U.S. economy and we all get evicted. This fucking they're going to unleash the robot dogs with guns on their heads to shoot each other because AI is stupid. But this ICE tweet fucking got me. ICE in Portland tweeted out this image with the text: "Not all outside our ICE facility are violent. Thank you," with this picture that is clearly fucking AI. The hands are fucked up. The knees bent backwards. And here's the thing. They don't even know how to do AI prompts. You see that the graffiti spray painted behind that woman's legs? What does it say, Trey?
It looks like it says AI.
Yes! Someone... whoever generated this image didn't know how to do the prompt right, so they probably put "make me an AI image" in the AI image generator, which the robot understood to mean put AI in the image, the letters themselves.
That's hilarious.
So what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. We're all fucked. All right. We got enough time to do this last one or a version of it. You want to play this last video?
No, we'll do. I'll tell them about something else. Let's talk about the QAnon shopping real quick.
Okay.
QAnon Shaman says he is the rightful president and he's suing Donald Trump for $40 trillion.
Seems reasonable.
Jacob Chansley is government name. This lawsuit is like 40, is like, I forget how many, 26 pages long. It consists of a single paragraph and has one period in it. All right. Among his many claims, the DJs are spies, and the NSA stole his work for a Batman movie.
Which one, you know?
The Dark Knight. Knight.
Yeah, really? The very best one? Work inspired the very best Batman movie? Yeah.
His conspiratorial complaints about the NSA serve as inspiration for like how Batman called the Joker at the end of it.
Yeah, right. The sort of Patriot Act-y fucking computer system that he has at the end of that. Yeah.
Yeah, so he alleges that the government violated his First, Fourth, and Second Amendment rights and named as defendant. The defendants named include Trump, the Federal Reserve, the NSA, the IMF, and the World Bank, the Bank of International Settlements, the State of Israel, Elon Musk's ex-corp, T-Mobile, DARPA, and Warner Brothers Studios. I don't know where T-Mobile fits in the rest of this. The rest of them can all get fucked. You can sue all of them.
T-Mobile's probably, isn't there some like 5G? It's probably some 5G shit, right? 5G network fucking, that's probably wrapped into it somehow because that's part of the conspiracy, you know, spider web.
Maybe, or maybe they just cut off his cell phone service, and which he says
for not paying it or whatever. And
violation of his First Amendment rights to call his mom. So the claims in the suit include that the entire the central banking system of the Federal Reserve are unconstitutional. The U.S. government is guilty of treason for prioritizing the interests of foreign financiers at the expense of the American people. Hidden, but also sounds anti-Semitic in different contexts. The NSA surveilled Chancellor Daley using the Patriot Act as he was writing, quote, a second declaration of independence. That all radio stations and most of their DJs are part of the intelligence community.
Not in my experience. That is the opposite of how I would describe most radio stations and their DJs. And I've been to a lot of them.
So when you're on the road promoting your shows, going on a morning show, a morning zoo show called like Eddie and the Queef, you're part of a deep state psyop.
Yeah, exactly.
Besides The Dark Knight, he also says the plot details in Avatar were cribbed from his writing and proof the NSA was spying on him. So the NSA helped make Avatar, I guess. He said he was offered the opportunity to work with the NSA covertly and help them deal with otherworldly matters. And his shamanic beliefs made him a perfect candidate for the NSA. And the government stole more than $100,000 in cryptocurrency from him. And that the NSA, here's my favorite one, Trey. He claims the NSA catfished him on Facebook by contacting him while pretending to be actress Michelle Rodriguez, who Chancey identifies as, quote, my celebrity crush.
Yeah. Well, he appreciates a strong woman.
I'm going to connect some dots here. I'm assuming the $100,000 he had stolen from him via crypto was somebody who catfished him pretending to be Michelle Rodriguez, and he's blaming that on the government.
Right, probably. Well, my response to all this, I'm actually just going to quote his old January 6th lawyer verbatim directly and reminding everyone that this guy is fucking retarded. We covered that on the show, and I also talked about it on stage at the time, but his literal lawyer said those exact words about him as part of his like defense or whatever.
Right. Yeah. He's that is a legal defense. He doesn't have mens rea, right? But according to Chancellor, his first act as president would order the Federal Reserve to mint a 1 ounce gold coin and set its value at $40 trillion to pay off America's debt, which is exactly how that works. So I fully support his candidacy. The simple solutions.
I can't believe no one thought of that before. Thank you, QAnon Shaman. All right. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode. Thanks for watching. We'll have a fun guest for you next week, I think. Things go as we're intending for them to right now. And, but otherwise, come see me on the road. I'll be back at it in November. Go to TreyCrowder.com to see all my upcoming dates. Check out Producer Matt's audio exclusive, Good Skews, Good People Doing Good Things, for a nice little palate cleanser. If you're in the Pacific Northwest, the entire region, anywhere in the goddamn region, consider going to Producer Matt's Madrona Fest this weekend, a fun music festival outside of Tacoma, Washington, headlined by Nathan Evans Fox. And finally, support the show on Patreon and get 2 additional bonus episodes every month for only $5. Go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go to Patreon and search for my name. All right, but either way, if you keep coming back on Skews Days, we will too. We'll see you about 7 days from now. Love you. Bye.
Skews.